This is the Station of the Nations, AM 1270, WHLD, Niagara Falls and Buffalo, New York.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Rob Saul with What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that question is a lot. And my listeners, especially the older adults and caregivers out there, shouldn't settle for less. The following is a list of some of the things you should expect as you get older.
You should to be listened to, valued, and respected. You should expect knowledgeable and compassionate health care. You should expect to be as pain-free as possible and to be given medications that will only make you feel better, not worse. You should expect never to be abandoned or forgotten. You should expect not to live a life of loneliness or depression. You should expect never to be the object of prejudice or abuse. You should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest. You should expect to live up to your potential and have hope for the future. And lastly, you should expect never to be taken advantage of, except for your talents, knowledge, and wisdom.
I'm very excited about the phone calls, emails, and handwritten notes I've received since the article about the show came out in the Buffalo News last Tuesday. I want to tell you right off the bat that the phone lines are open, and the number here is 855-6848. That's 855-6848. In a few minutes, we'll start taking your calls. I'm looking forward to taking as many callers as we can in the next hour. If you can't get through, please leave your name, phone number, email address, if you have one, and your question so I can get back to you or discuss your question in a future show. You can also mail your questions and requests for information to the station at WHLD 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo 14202, by fax to 636. That the fax number is 636-7532, or by emailing me at drstall, that's Dr. Stahl, at whatshouldyouexpect.com. Additional information related to the topics discussed and audios of the show can be found on the web at whatshouldyouexpect.com. Also, I have a patient self-assessment packet and healthcare proxy form available at no charge. Simply contact me as I just described. Now, my guest today is Pam Krawczyk, Commissioner of Erie County Senior Services. Welcome, Pam.
Good afternoon, Dr. Stahl. Thank you for inviting me to be here today.
Now, you gave me your CV, and I want to go through a few things so people know a little bit about you. You graduated DeNewville College, and I won't mention the year. You have a Bachelor's of Science in Biology, and then went on to get your Master's of Science in Gerontology and Management at DeNewville as well.
That's correct.
That's correct. Now, you've had extensive experience involved in the senior services area. You've been Commissioner of Senior Services since February of 2000. Now, how did you get involved with that?
Well, actually, I just sent in my resume. I was looking to make a career change. I had been working for the Salvation Army Golden Aid Center for about 11 years. My focus has always been working with older adults, and especially those that are still in the community, those that are still healthy and active, and those who want to still contribute to the community. So I was very interested in getting into program development and evaluation, and then I was asked if I'd like to be commissioner. So it wasn't something that I had anticipated, and it sort of just came about.
Well, I think your job is crucial, and there's resources that you help provide that are there for people to take advantage of, and that's what we hope to emphasize in this show, the wide range of things out there that can help older people and the people that care about them, caregivers and others, even health professionals, to help their patients lead a happier and healthier life. Now, the number at Erie County Department of Senior Services, this is the number to remember, the central information and referral number, 858-8526, 858-8526. And you mentioned a little bit about the types of calls you get there. You get calls about what the lottery numbers are?
Oh, we get calls just about everything. And I think that's pretty much, we have a tremendous team of staff that they're seasoned case managers, and they're able to field any call. Occasionally we'll get a call for the lottery numbers.
And you do give them out. You give the lottery number out if you do have it.
If we have them available. But we have lists of everything. They're like the central library of information for services to older adults. Those that, and for caregivers as well, if people are looking for information, sometimes we'll have a caregiver calling and they're so stressed out, they don't know where to turn. So we basically tell them we're here to help them and we'll guide them through the maze.
And these services are available to anyone. At least information pointing them in the right direction is available to anyone. You don't have to have a certain income level or...
Exactly. I think a lot of people think when they're calling the county, they might be calling social services, that they're looking for a handout of finances. A lot of our programs are entitlement programs for seniors. We're basically looking to maximize their resources so that they can stay in the community, live in their own homes. Something as simple as helping them with their utility bills, or helping them guide through the whole Medicare prescription drug card program. Those are real critical issues right now for seniors.
We talked about the key points we wanted to get across today and some take-home messages. The theme, we're calling it, what are the major issues confronting older adults today, with a focus on our community, Western New York? And we hope to leave you with three take-home messages. Older people can get sick from specific problems. Well, they do get sick from specific problems, not just old age, and that alludes to the issue of ageism, prejudice towards older people. Number two, there is always something that could be done to help, and help is available. And three, it's better to seek help sooner than later. And I think we agree that those are three very reasonable goals to try and achieve today. It's a big order to fill, but we'll try to do the best we can. Now, what did you think about the expectations that I read just a few minutes ago?
Oh, they were terrific. Well, actually, I had seen them. You had emailed them to me beforehand. I had a chance to read them. It's funny because I always tell my staff, people don't rise to low expectations. So I really thought that setting those expectations for older adults, because when you mention people get sick, not just from old age, in many instances it's self-neglect. People don't think that they have anything of value any longer. They've lost a lot as people start to age. They may lose their job, their friends predecease them, and that self-neglect is something that's really critical, and I'm sure that you've seen it quite a bit as well. And our department does protective services as well, and we see a lot of self-neglect cases.
Well, self-neglect and people not understanding what's going on with their loved ones, that leads to very uncomfortable and difficult situations often. So we're looking for both older people and the caregivers out there to seek the help that they need. Now, if we have any phone calls, we could take that now. What do we have, Jimmy?
Caller, you're on the line.
Hello. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, this is Dr. Stahl. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just trying to find out, do you have a private practice?
Well, since I started the show and over the years, actually, people have asked me about that, and I have a very limited private practice, and that's one of the problems with doing geriatric care in that there aren't enough people who specialize in geriatrics really to meet the needs of all the older adults out there that might benefit. Now, my basic philosophy is that geriatrics as a specialty should gradually disappear as internists and family practitioners
learn about all the different issues involved in geriatric care. Unfortunately, the medical school curricula are not quite up to speed in that respect. As far as my private practice, I have a very limited ability to take new patients. I do refer to other doctors that have qualifications, additional qualifications in geriatrics if I'm not able to accept people. But I'm also very interested in having patients, in a way, help themselves. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show a self-assessment booklet. And this is something I send out to my patients before I see them. And I'd like that to make that available to all listeners out there. I'd be happy to send a copy of that. You can fill out the self-assessment, and it goes through different general issues, a full symptom checklist. You put down all of your medications, including herbal remedies and over-the-counter remedies. You determine whether you might have a mood disorder, whether you have a problem with incontinence, and a variety of other questionnaires that you can fill out and bring to your doctor. And I think that would give your doctor a better starting point to be able to help you.
Now, what a thoughtful idea. I'm very interested.
Well, why don't you, I don't know, Jimmy, can you take an address and we can get that to this young lady? Okay, and why don't you give Jimmy, our engineer, your address, and I'll get that right out to you, okay?
Thank you very much, Dr. Scott.
You're welcome.
Call a hold of that.
Okay, well, I don't know what you think, Pam, about how to address the needs of all the older people out there that do need help. I think doctors want to do a good job with their patients, but time is the main issue.
Yeah, I think that there is such limited time for individuals. I think your point being that people need to be empowered when they go in, or caregivers, to really ask the questions, the right questions. Think about things before you're going to your doctor and address the primary concerns that you have.
Yeah, this the self-assessment tool is part of a project I'm working on with the Lions Club, a very large volunteer organization, and specifically the Lions Club of Lancaster. We used a self-assessment packet in conjunction with a health fair, and that worked very well for the residents of the senior apartment building that participated in the health fair, and also completed the self-assessment forms. They were each given these packets. They filled it out ahead of time. We reviewed them ahead of time, and it gave us an idea of what the most important issues were going into the health fair. And some surprising things came out. We're actually still trying to tabulate all of the information we got. 25% of the people responded that they didn't have enough money not to pay for medications, but to afford food.
Mm-hmm.
25% said they couldn't afford food. And maybe you could speak to that issue.
It's one of the things that our department is really focused in on, is to maximize resources. I mentioned before, help with utility bills, sometimes getting into the EPIC program to help with prescription drugs. If we can free up additional money per month, per individual, it might be that money that they need to help supplement. We also run nutrition dining sites. We call them the Safe at Dining Program. And under the Older Americans Act, we do not necessarily have to charge. We allow people to contribute what they can afford. So if somebody's looking for a location, we have about 52 dining sites all across Erie County. And if your listenership is outside of this Erie County itself, there's nutrition sites in every county adjacent. So look into it, call your Office for Aging or your Area Agency on Aging, find a site near you, and you get a well-balanced, a dietitian monitors, and we have special diets. We even accommodate kosher dining sites. We have the African-American diet, Hispanic diet. So somebody can go, and it's not just to have a good meal, it's also for socialization, the education that goes along with all of those sites. And they can also, if they're interested, we will assist them with a food stamp application, and those food stamps are eligible.
Well, mm-hmm. you know, that's wonderful. And as far as finding the office for aging in your respective area, is that something they could find by calling your number in addition to the lottery number of the day?
Yes, we'll put them in contact with the appropriate area agency. And just to let people know, too, this is the time that we're doing farmers market coupons. So if they contact our number, the 858-8526, we have coupon booklets which will assist older adults in getting fresh fruits and vegetables from local farmers here in Erie County.
Well, Mary, that number again, 858-8526. We want to try and make things as simple as possible, one single access point to get as much information as you might need. I don't know.
Star, you have another call.
We have another call. Be happy to take it.
Who are you, ma'am?
Come on,
yes, I'm here. Yes, I would like to know what your solution is for insomnia being caused by a too active mind. If you wake up at, say, 4 a.m., what can I do to sort of disconnect my mind from functioning and thinking? It's not necessarily worry, just thinking and planning.
Well, tell me more about your active mind. I think that's wonderful to begin with.
During the day it's wonderful, but at 4 a.m. it is not. So what sort of exercise could I do, or what could I do to put my mind into an inactive mode?
Well, what's been your usual sleeping pattern throughout your life, and when did it change?
Yes, well, it's been going on for quite a long time now. I go to sleep around between 11 and 11:30, and then wake up around 3:30, and then I toss and turn, and I can't go back to sleep. And so I've been getting up and doing some reading, and then I go back, and sometimes I can go back to sleep, and sometimes I can't. So I would like to avoid getting up in the middle of the night to do some reading.
Well, how do you function during the day?
I function fine, and I almost never take a nap. I have read all the articles in the papers about do's and don'ts.
Okay.
And I still have the same problem.
Are you taking medications? I don't want to get into your personal medication
history.
But
No, that's fine. No, I'm not. I'm just taking vitamins, and I'm taking calcium and Prosamax. And I'm not taking anything that could possibly cause anything, because I just don't take anything else.
Well, let me ask Pam. I know it's somewhat of a medical question, but how would you handle it if someone called you about that?
Well, I guess I'm wondering, too, about physical activity. I mean, it's if the body, if you're doing, are you doing any type of activity during the day physically?
Yes, I am. Every morning from 7 to 8. On lifestyle aerobic exercises, and if I don't do that, I walk around the park. So I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and I never have a drop of caffeine nor chocolate.
I would say that it's probably I'm curious as to, you said talked about planning. I'm not sure if you could do certain things before you go to sleep to write down on a notepad of things that you might be planning, but I would think that something where you could focus your mind on things that would relax you, a pleasant location.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it's sort of a mind over matter.
Now, how about trying some exercise at night as well?
I haven't done that. I'm just too tired usually to do that. So what do you mean by night? I mean, if I go to bed at 11, what time would you suggest that?
Well, no, before you go to bed, just gentle exercise, relaxation, stretching. What kind of exercise do you do in the morning, did you say?
Aerobic.
Uh-huh.
Low impact aerobic, and with a television program. I have no trouble. Usually I don't have any trouble going to sleep first, but and I know a great many of my friends have the same problem. So that's one of the reasons I called it.
Right.
It's not a unique problem.
Yeah, sleep is a difficult and complicated problem. Some things that might help, and that we've tried in a nursing home setting, is different kinds of sounds that you might play by the bedside that might be relaxing sounds. Water flowing on a stream, or thunderstorms sometimes, birds in a field, just some background music, to break the silence and
and the usual house noises.
I see.
That might be something to help.
Well, thank you very much, and it just so happens that my doorbell just rang.
Okay.
And I wish you best of luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's take it. Hello, you're on the air. It's Dr. Stahl.
Well, welcome to the radio station. I read the article in the paper last week, and I was excited that, you know, there was this, what you're trying to do, you know, because I'm on the caregiver end.
Okay.
And not too intense yet. We're dealing with transitional things with a parent, and had to have a sibling meeting to powwow about certain things and that. But I did want to, the person that was just on, I've had trouble with that same thing where, you know, it's just the mind racing all over the place. And two things that have helped me. One, I started doing crossword puzzles because that, when you focus on the crossword puzzle, it totally gets your mind off of everything else. And I really got to be good at them and enjoy them and everything. So that's one thing. And then, you know, you tire yourself out and go to sleep. But the other thing is I have a radio next to the bed that I actually leave on 24/7, and it has headphones hooked to it. And so if I'm having trouble falling asleep or I wake up and can't go back to sleep, I put the headphones on, and I choose to listen to the Catholic radio station just because there's never anything on there to upset me too much. I always enjoy whatever's on there, and that just kind of, I either stay awake for a little while listening to stuff or I get to doze off, and then I, you know, then if you have the right headphones, they're not going to strangle you or anything. So.
Right. No, you know,
but those are two things that have helped me.
Well, the general approach to sleep problems, everyone's barraged with medications that might help or are supposed to help sleep, and finding alternatives to medications, like these simple, we call them behavioral approaches,
mm-hmm.
To a problem, is certainly much preferred. One medication that has in particular caused problems for several of my patients is Tylenol PM,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds innocuous being a Tylenol preparation, but it actually is a combination drug with regular Tylenol and Benadryl in it. And Benadryl is an antihistamine medication that is being used for its side effect of causing sedation to help you to get to sleep. But Benadryl in older people especially can also cause urinary problems, can cause dizziness when you stand up. It can cause confusion and outright hallucinations in people who are predisposed to that. So you have to be very careful with what you might take to help with your sleep. And looking into these alternative creative approaches, I think, is the way to go. Pam, do you have any comments further on that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's trying to focus your mind on something else, because I think I do the same thing. If there's things that I'm worried about the next day, my mind starts racing. I can't fall back asleep either. And I think that it's important to find good alternative means. I do the same thing. I listen to the radio, usually a talk radio, because it tends to lull me back and focuses my attention. I don't like taking the medications, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that for people to just go off and take something like that can be really have some deleterious effects.
There are other medical issues that can cause sleep problems, something called sleep apnea, and in a future program, I'm going to dedicate the program to the whole issue of sleep programs, but for the time being, I'll post some information, general information about what people can do about their sleep and how to enhance it without going the medication route. And then if it is severe enough and it is affecting your daily life, that's why I asked the question earlier, does it affect your life during the day? And if it doesn't, then maybe that's a change that it's best to just get used to and accept it. If it is affecting your life, though, it has to be addressed. So I put some basic information on the website, whatshouldyouexpect.com, and dedicate a show in the near future to the whole issue of sleep problems. I hope that helped a little bit.
Could I just talk about something else, though, because I really kind of spent time addressing that.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know, bringing up the idea that, like I said, that my parent isn't completely in need of her, of the life being taken over yet, but there's signs that have made us concerned. And I don't know how much input you personally get from family members or if you encourage it, but we're very fortunate that our mom started with a new doctor, and he's being very welcoming to our giving input on observations,
right,
and stuff, so that it can help him better address where she's going, you know.
Well,
like, and I
absolutely encourage that. I often have family members in with my patients when I see them. I ask the patient, of course, permission first,
right,
if it's okay,
right,
for the family member to be there. But generally, that's okay. And getting the full picture from the family's perspective and the patient's perspective is essential.
Mm-hmm.
We do have resources for caregivers, and maybe Pam can talk about that. There's the Erie Caregivers Network, and there's also the Niagara County Caregivers Network. And maybe you want to say a few words about that. These are wonderful organizations that are doing great things, including training programs to help caregivers deal with the things they're dealing with.
That's great.
Yeah, we're doing powerful tools for caregiving, and there's a special series of classes. It may not be something that you need at this point, but down the road we'll be continuing those classes. But we have our Caregiver Resource Center, and I think what's really important is that the federal government even realized how important it was to support the informal caregivers, because government alone can't do it, and so input from the informal caregivers is critical, and so we want to support you in whatever way we can. If you're looking for any type of information, you can again call our number. Just finding out maybe what type of things are available to caregivers as well as to your loved one. Again, these are entitlement programs. There's a wide variety of services, everything from those individuals who might be caring for someone with the beginning of a dementia, to, you know, needing help with transportation, any other services down the road you might want to plan for, please give our office a call, or you can go to eriecaregiver.org, which is our website, and there's a caregiver network here, which will refer you to the appropriate agencies.
Right. It's actually Erie County Caregiver, all one word, .org, is the place to go for the Erie County Caregiver Coalition. Very important issue. A future program and many future programs will be dedicated to the issue of caregiving. Essential. Our hats are off to all of those people that are putting in the time and care enough to do what they do for their older relatives, friends, and neighbors. And Pam, you yourself have been a caregiver in that sense, and before older people at one time, I understand.
Oh, yes, it comes in bunches. I had a variety who were in hospitals on their way to nursing homes. My mother was the youngest of eight children, so the four eldest, I was caring for my mother, who had some health issues. So I know the stresses, and a lot of the staff at Senior Services is currently going through this or has gone through it. So I think we have a sensitivity to the needs and how confusing it can be for those of us who even work in the field and have access to resources. So it's, you know, we will help guide you through what can be relatively confusing, and we know it's very stressful. So we'll hope to lighten your burden a little bit at times.
Well, thanks for your call. I hope that helped.
She was satisfied.
She was satisfied. Okay, thank you, Jimmy.
If you have another call, let me catch it right now.
Okay. Hello, it's Dr. Stahl.
Hi, I guess it's supposed to be me.
I guess it's you.
I have quite a few problems.
Well, let's take one, okay?
and so we could get other people asking their questions too. Take the number one thing that's affecting you right now. That's what I do with my patients. I try and pin them down to the number one thing that's causing their problems at the moment.
Well, I do have COPD.
Okay.
But I have oxygen 24 hours a day.
Right.
But that's really not what I wanted to talk about. I have bad veins in my ankle, and I have pain in my ankle and my foot. And there's a little edema, and I want to know if there's like any med. I do take liquid Tylenol once in a while.
Okay.
But is there anything stronger than that I could take that wouldn't have any bad effects, like ibuprofen or any? I've never taken that.
Well,
and I can't take aspirin because I have diverticulosis.
Right. Well, there's a few things with pain in the legs. One,
in my ankle.
In your ankles. Okay. And you do have some swelling. One simple thing that you may be doing is to use compression stockings to try and help move the blood back out of your legs, back into your system. What happens as people get older, their veins don't work as well as they used to.
Right.
And the veins, the valves in the veins, don't keep the blood up where it should be, and it tends to sink down into the legs and feet. So one thing that can help with that is compression stockings, and a common brand is TED stockings and Jobst stockings, J-O-B-S-T. These are things that generally you get a prescription for from your physician if you want insurance to cover it. I don't know if you've tried those things. The other thing, pain in your feet, really needs to be looked into closely. Has your doctor said anything specific as to what it might be, or even a podiatrist? Have you seen a podiatrist about the pain in your feet?
Yes. Well, he did mention the stockings, like you said.
Okay.
And he said to ask the doctor about some kind of medication, too. It's only the one foot that hurts, you know, the one that has the beans in it. You know, you can tell all your patients' kids, don't sit on your ankle.
Don't sit on your ankle.
Right. You know how people do? They put their leg up and
yeah.
sit on their ankle.
Is that what you've done all your life? And
yes.
You think it resulted in this? Huh?
Yes.
That's plus, interesting.
Plus five babies.
Plus five babies.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one side, you know, this might take a little more in-depth talking to you about it. So why don't I let Jimmy take your number, and I'll get back to you about it. All right, because there's a lot of questions to ask and things to sort out before I give specific recommendations. So why don't Jimmy, if you could take her phone number and her name, and we'll get back to you, okay?
Okay.
Now, I want to, let's see, what are we going to do? I'd like to run a few pre-recorded segments now, and then go into a short break, and then we'll come back for some more phone calls. So let's run what I call a story to remember. And this is a story that I tell my patients in a way that it helps explain that there should be a lot to expect as you get older, even in very old age.
A patient once came to me who was about to turn 100 years old. She had pain in her right knee. I asked her what she thought was wrong. "What do you expect at my age?" she demanded. "How is your left knee?" "Just fine, thank you," she replied. "Then why doesn't your left knee hurt? Isn't it the same age as your right?" Her face brightened and understood what I meant. "Think about it often. I do. It reminds me there is always something that could be done to help, even in extreme old age."
Now I'd like you to hear from Dr. Saul Elkin, who's the founder of Shakespeare in the Park, a respected local actor. And he did two readings for me about getting older.
Now, I have a few surprises that you can or don't have to read if you don't want to.
All right.
Let's start with this one, and it's entitled The Golden Years.
Yeah.
And it's anonymous. We don't know who wrote it.
The golden years have come at last. I cannot see, I cannot pee, I cannot chew, can't tie my shoe. My muscles lost their flex, sure can't have sex. My memory shrinks, my hearing stinks. No sense of smell, I look like hell. My body's drooping, got trouble pooping. The golden years have come at last. The golden years. Ooh, what a blast.
That's great. A heck of a lot better than I could have done, I'll tell you that. Well, that's for all time. And that'll go on the show, and on the web, and who knows, that might be your ticket to world fame, if you're not world famous already.
Well, I don't know about that.
This is my last surprise reading.
Okay.
And if you like these, I'll find more for you, and we'll get together some other
ones. Sure, absolutely.
Now, this is a news flash, so you have to read it as a news flash.
Okay. Seniors are the nation's leading carriers of AIDS. Hearing aids, Band-Aids, Rolaids, walking aids, medical aids, government aids, and most of all, monetary aids to their kids.
Well, there you have it. Dr. Elkin, I think, laying out a lot of the concerns older people have, but somewhat in a hopeless tone of voice, certainly humorous tone of voice. But I'd like to take a short break and come back and discuss how all of those things can be addressed and how all of those things can be helped in some way.
For the longest while, I forget to smile, then I met you. Now that my blue days have passed, now loving you always with a love that's true always.
When the things you plan need a helping hand, I will.
Okay, we're back now with my guest, Pam Krawczyk, Commissioner of the Erie County Senior Services. We're happy to have you here today, and I think you're giving us some great information that might help a few people and hopefully a lot of people out there. We're here to take your calls. The number again is 855-6848, 855-6848. Well, Pam, what did you think about the things Dr. Elkin read for us, and are those things that can be helped, the trouble pooping and...
Well, it's good to laugh. I mean, that's one of the successes of aging is that you can laugh at yourself at times. But it doesn't have to be that way. I think it's some of the stereotypical things that people normally think of people who are over the age of 65. When I was with the Salvation Army, I used to coordinate the Senior Olympics. And I would see people in their 90s doing a race walk and in competing, and I'd find some of the people that I worked with and who were helping me with the Olympics who were in their 20s were complaining more about the aches and pains and not being able to keep up with the older adults. So I think it's age is pretty much a state of mind, and people will fall into, you know, if you talk about those expectations, you need to have high expectations for yourself, and you can do things to prevent that. And I think a lot of times people don't think about taking preventive measures and in starting now, even for caregivers, you know, when you're in your 40s and 50s, I mean, there are things that you can do to improve your health and well-being so that your golden years will actually be golden.
Name one thing that people can get started on today, and then we'll dedicate a future show to all the different things, or at least some of the many things that could be done to help prevent problems from occurring.
It's basically making one change. I mean, we all make those New Year's resolutions. I would say, you know, and everybody at January 1st is going to quit smoking, lose weight, you know, get more exercise. Take one of those items. For seniors, I really try to say, just be a little more active. Rather than being the couch potato, just start taking some measure, either, you know, walking a little bit further, you know, putting down the remote. And
we want to see those malls filled up with mall walkers,
mm-hmm.
and not just the few hardy souls that are out there. Though I think there are more and more.
Yeah. We started a wellness program with the TheraBands, the exercise rubber bands, which they're using in physical therapy,
right.
And we've got about 1,200 seniors now participating at a variety of dining sites. We have our own Mr. Fitness, who's like the Jack LaLanne in Erie County, Richard Durwald, and he's going out.
I have to give him a call. Mr. Fitness, that sounds great.
Yeah, he's 70 years old, and he's a county employee, and, you know, just talking about expectations, I have the oldest county employee working for me. She's Ida Quigley. She's 94, and she's a county employee. Self-taught on Word and Excel,
wonderful.
And can do a bang-up job with a spreadsheet compared to some people who are much
younger.
That's
amazing. I have a patient well into his 80s, and he skis, and his
absolutely.
Exercise regimen is something I wouldn't even think of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take some calls if we have them?
Never.
Okay, let's have it. Hello, it's Dr. Stahl.
Hi, Dr. Stahl. My name is Carol Gerritsen.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I read with interest the article in the paper a couple of weeks ago on you.
Well, we're just trying to get the word out. And that's what this is all about. Instead of it going into my filing cabinet in my office, I'm trying to get some good information out there to as many people as possible, because there's only one of me, and I think there's a whole lot of people in need.
There are most definitely.
How can I help you? Go ahead.
May I ask your opinion on drugs from Canada?
Drugs from Canada. I should have known that was going to be a question, and certainly the whole medication issue and the cost of medication. And probably in the next month or two, I will be dedicating a program to the Medicare drug benefit and whether that is a benefit or not, and whether
as well as Epic.
And Epic certainly is a wonderful program. Yeah, it will address all of the different ways that someone might be able to reduce the amount that they spend on medications.
Well, I hope you'll keep my little business in mind when you do that show.
Well, what's your business?
I sell discount drugs from Canada, and I'm really located right here on Main Street in Buffalo.
Okay, well...
And I do what I can to spread the word, advertising in the over 50.
Well, I think the main issue is ensuring that it's the same quality.
I'd have to say it's better quality, sir, actually.
I can't vouch for that or not vouch
right.
for that, so...
Right.
But I think it's certainly something that several states have taken into mind and,
mm-hmm.
and are approaching to reduce the tremendous costs that are impacting states in the benefits they pay to Medicaid patients and other patients.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the drug companies have to take notice explain why there are these great disparities in drug costs. So
absolutely, no one in the world pays what we pay here in the
right.
United States.
Well, thanks for your call, and we will be talking about that, because if people can't afford the medications, they're not going to be taking them
that's
the way
right.
they should.
That's right.
And that's an even bigger problem to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they hit the hospital and they haven't been taking their medications, and they tell the doctor in the hospital their full list of medications, that can cause a problem,
mm-hmm.
that they're given the medications at a dose that maybe is too high for them. So we're going to talk a lot about medications. That's a pet peeve of mine, the problems, the possible dangers of medications, the side effects that make people's lives miserable sometimes.
And the sadness when they have to choose sometimes between buying their groceries and buying their prescriptions.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks for your call.
You're more than welcome. Have a good day, sir.
You too.
Dr. Stahl, we have one who wants to be identified as Miss M, and you can do that. You don't have to identify yourself.
but as long as we have permission to take your call on the air.
Here's Miss M. Hello, Miss M.
Hi, I want to know if a 76-year-old lady could do something about the muscles in her legs, the top part and the calf part of the back of her muscles that become so stiff she can hardly walk.
Now, are you talking about your mother?
No, I'm talking about myself.
Okay. Well, tell me a little more about that.
Well, I mean, the muscles in my leg get so stiff that it's hard to walk. Is there anything I can do for these muscles?
Okay. Well, what are you doing for them right now?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. And
well, maybe it's because I had an accident. I was hitting the knee. I was kind of leery on my knees for a long time. Had my muscles become stiff and deteriorated and kind of that.
Now, have you gone to anyone for an evaluation besides your primary doctor?
No.
Well, what I'd recommend is to really, like stiffness in your legs could be a wide variety of things, and you really need someone to pin down, is it a muscle problem, is it a joint problem, is it a back problem, and people that can sort that out include physical therapists.
Mm-hmm.
There are medical specialists called rehabilitation medicine doctors or physiatrists, not psychiatrists, but physiatrists, mm-hmm. of which there are several in town. And I'd be happy to provide that to you off the air, who those people are,
mm-hmm.
and start there. And, your medications have to be looked at. There are medications, especially the medications that lower cholesterol that can cause muscle aches.
Mm-hmm. I'm not taking any cholesterol medication.
Okay, well, then that eliminates that.
I tried Lipitor, and it did make my muscles stiff.
No, it did. Okay. Well, some people can improve just very simply with taking Tylenol on a regular basis. If you have pain every day, I'd recommend that if there's no contraindication, if your doctor doesn't prohibit it, that you take pain medications on a regular basis if you're having pain every day. The goal is to prevent the pain, not to suffer pain and then take something to try and get rid of it. But for you, I would think starting with either a physical therapist, a rehabilitation medicine doctor, or an orthopedic doctor would be the qualified specialist to really figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also pain specialists, doctors that specialize in diagnosing pain and what's causing pain and discomfort. And I'll be happy to make a list of those people available, and I'll try to get it up on the website as well, whatshouldyouexpect.com. Now, Pam, do you have any other suggestions or comments about that?
Well, no, I thought about a physical therapist, but I just wanted to hear it from you, too.
Well, that's good. Now, Pam, let's see if Pam has any other suggestions.
Well, I would be saying, because if we do our fitness program, we do help people that they can do exercises from a seated position with those TheraBands or the DynaBands, but we would again suggest that you first consult with your physician to just build a little more flexibility. We've had some good success with quite a few people who have been recovering from other health issues, and they felt that they have strength in their legs quite a bit.
Those mm-hmm. bands are so effective. Mm-hmm. I used it when I had my ankle broken,
mm-hmm.
and they really helped in my rehabilitation of my ankle.
They really are very helpful.
Yeah, and with exercise, it's much better if you get into an exercise program that's right for you to address the problems you're having, but also to get into it with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because doing exercise alone where you don't have anyone to talk to or compete against and urge each mm-hmm. other on is very hard, and so try to find a friend. Call the Erie County Senior Services, look into the exercise programs that they have, or check into that physical therapist. Information is key. Problems, I try to gather information on problems my patients have until I'm able to make a diagnosis or until someone else is able to really diagnose what the problem is. And I try to avoid just treating symptoms, because then you run into the problems of the side effects from the treatments of symptoms alone.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're very welcome. I'd like to...
Oh,
yes.
We do have one more call.
Okay. Let's take the call.
All right, we're rolling.
Okay. Good.
Go right ahead. Call him.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, great. This is Russell. I'm a little nervous, but first of all,
Don't be nervous. I'm nervous, too.
Okay, I just want to thank you for doing something like this so that I have somebody that I can call and ask questions to.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, and I wish there were 10 of us out there doing this, so or 20. There's a lot of information that needs to get out to a lot of people, so how can I help you today?
Well, this, I hope this isn't too far off topic. I guess I need some help making a decision. My parents are in their early 80s, and their health is starting to slide a bit. My father's got vascular dementia. My mother's having trouble walking, and we just recently had an episode where my mother fell and literally skinned her shin. Right. And she wasn't healing very well. Then she fell again and had a, I think it's called a cellulitis. And we wound up putting her in the hospital and wound up putting my father in a nursing home because he can't be home alone.
Right.
The month that we were there. Well, my concern is really about the doctor that they're seeing now, which is, I guess he's a GP, and my opinion isn't the same as theirs. I don't think he's that good. But my mother has a list of prescriptions as long as your arm, and my father's is about half that long. And one of the things that came out of this is that one of the prescriptions for her rheumatoid arthritis was blocking her ability, her immune system. Now, what I'm thinking of doing is, at this point, now that they're home and doing okay, is that maybe it's time to change doctors, and I would like to see them, have them see a geriatric specialist who will look at them with fresh eyes and see what they're at and make some changes.
Well, what we can do, why don't we take down your number, and we can get the self-assessment packets out to you. So that if you do wish to pursue that with their own doctor, that might be helpful. We can also get you the list of doctors that do have added qualifications in geriatrics locally. Another thing I would recommend doing, pharmacists are required to go over medications with their patients, and I think most patients do not take advantage of that the way they could. Usually it's a cursory, do you have any questions about your medication? And the patient says, well, no, not really, and then they go on their way. And the situation usually isn't conducive. You're standing in the middle of a hall, and maybe they have a chair they can take you off to the side and talk to you. But if you press the pharmacist, the pharmacy where you get the medications from, to go through the list with you, that also might help identify specific medications or combinations that are causing problems. So why don't we get that information from you, and you can try those things, and maybe that'll get them pointed in the right direction.
Okay, so, I mean, in general, do you think this is a feasible way to go?
What's that?
Do you think it's a reasonable thing to have to change doctors?
Well, like I said, most doctors want to do the best job that they can, and if you could help get them more information that might help them to make a better decision about what's going on, then you might see that that doctor, you know, truly is going to be able to help in some way. So we can get that self-assessment booklet to you. I would strongly recommend you talk to the pharmacist where they're getting their medications from. And we can also, I can also provide you with a list of doctors that do have added qualifications in geriatrics locally, and you know, certainly you know, might want to take advantage of what they have to offer. Usually it's best to maintain contact with the primary doctor so that if you do bring them to a specialist, that specialist can get information and find out what's been going on over the years with the patient that the previous doctor's been following. So I think you're on the right track, and you're asking the right question. You feel that things aren't as good as they could be, and you're trying to do something about that. And that's how
most of the patients end up coming to me as well. And I'm glad that you have that approach, that you're an advocate for your parents, and you know, keep at it. You're doing a good job.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Nice talking to you. Okay.
One more call, doctor, if you can take it.
We'll take one more quick call, and then we're going to have to start wrapping up for today. And let's take that call.
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hello. This will be a quick call, I promise. I think, Pam, you know who this is.
Mr. Fitness.
Mr. Fitness himself.
Yes,
okay.
That's right. You know, this was a great show today. I heard the show from the beginning until the end, and Pam always says something that sometimes she considers senior services to be one of the best-kept secrets, and I think the last hour today, I think, told a lot of people in the community about a lot of the services that we do have available.
So what can you tell us, Mr. Fitness? What's the take-home message we
you? I think you've already stole my message, Doctor. I think the message is that we've had great success working in a social environment. That is, the people working out, exercising with their own peer groups, it's very, very stimulating.
Right.
The social aspect is just terrific. And we really have an awful lot of people out there actively participating all over Erie County in this strength and fitness program that we have.
Well, thanks for calling. It's good to hear your voice, and I hope to meet you sometime, Mr. Fitness.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay. What's your first name?
Richard.
Mr. Richard Fitness.
Yeah.
Okay, there you have it, everyone.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, and I thank my guest, Pam Krawczyk, a tremendous amount, and all the wonderful people at Erie County Senior Services and the other senior service agencies in Western New York for all the great work they do. Thank you, Pam.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stahl, and I'd like to thank WHLD also for having the vision to put this program together.
Well, ditto from me. Thanks to WHLD. And once again, the main phone number to contact Erie County Department of Senior Services for information and guidance is 858-8526. Or you can also email them at seniorinfo, one word, SENIORINFO, at erie.gov, erie.gov. My thanks to Irving Berlin for composing the wonderful song Always. I'd like to end today's program with a little dinner music. And I'd also like to thank Ms. Michelle Kearns and the Buffalo News for running the article about the show in last Tuesday's paper so that more people can benefit from the topics discussed. I'd also like to thank my boys, my twin boys, Dan and Dave Stahl,
yeah,
who are here in the studio today helping to take messages that I'll follow up shortly. And there they are. Those are my boys. All right, we're going to have them at every show. Let's run the dinner music, and I'll continue reading some announcements. Next week's guest will be Ms. Leilani Pelletier, the program director of the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York. Next week's show will be dedicated to the issue of dementia and Alzheimer's disease, how to deal with memory problems, how to know if a memory problem is a significant problem, and what you might be able to do about it. Please write the station address, WHLD, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, 14202, if you have any questions or suggestions. Once again, the call-in number that you've heard numerous times today, and I think the word is getting out there, 855-6848. You can contact me, Dr. Rob Stahl, by email, drstall at whatshouldyouexpect.com. The website where I'll be putting up information to add to what the discussion of each show has been is whatshouldyouexpect.com. And there's been our dinner music, and that was Miss Dorothy Eshelman, 96 years young. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. I'll see you next week.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64.